breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy are you, Father God. Hallelujah. Worthy are you. Hallelujah.
Holy moment,
never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing. But Jesus, you don't owe me anything, more than anything that you can do. I just want you. Nothing else will 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 do. I just want you.
I'm caught up in your presence, Lord. Caught up in your presence. Caught up in your presence.
And I just want to sit here. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave.
Lord, we're just here for you.
Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't know.
Here.
Caught up in your presence. I just want to sing. Caught up in this holy name.
For your presence, we thank you that you have showed up when your people praise your name. Lord, we thank you that you come. You come and inhabit the praises of your people, Father. And we just want to thank you and glorify you and give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name
Hallelujah.
Of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord.
Amen. The Lord is worthy. Amen.
Sorry, I spilled tea.
That's okay. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen. 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 God is good. Amen.
all the time. And all the time, God is good. That's what they say over in Africa. When you say, God is good, and we always have said it all the time. Over in Africa, they say, all the time, God is good.
Yeah.
Continue it. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
That's for our Kenya people.
Amen.
Our Kenya family that may watch
Absolutely.
This. We love you. You've impacted us greatly. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, welcome, welcome. Happy Father's Day to all
amen.
The fathers. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I was saying the first service, and I truly, truly mean it. We've got some amazing fathers here.
Amen.
We've got
Absolutely.
Truly some amazing fathers that really reflect the heart of Jesus. And I watch them, and I watch them love their children, and I watch them correct Amen. Their children in love, Amen. And I watch them just... Like, back in my day, I'm just going to say, if a kid came up to you and you were talking, we got yelled at.
Amen.
When we were kids, we get yelled at.
Yeah.
Can't you see I'm talking? Go away.
Yeah, yeah.
Go play.
You're supposed to be seen and
not
heard.
That's Amen. Exactly what it is. And I see, and I just noticed this, and I know I'm a little slow, but I just noticed this, that they're very attentive.
Amen.
To the kids today,
Amen.
To make sure that they understand, the kids understand that they're important and their voice is heard. And that's awesome. So I'm not saying either way is right or wrong. I'm just saying I think that that's awesome because I probably
Amen.
Said to Philip, get away, Amen. The adults are talking right now.
Yeah, amen. Praise God.
Have said
hallelujah.
That a few times
hallelujah.
In our lifetime. But welcome, welcome. We want to truly just
yes.
celebrate you, fathers. You're amazing.
Absolutely.
You're amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Truly reflect our Father in
Father's
heaven.
Day. Amen.
Okay,
Praise
well, we're
God.
Going to. Talk about VBS for a second, because I'm sure some people are wondering, what's going on with VBS? Because we haven't really talked about it, because we've been in this limbo land about, you know, where we're going to be building-wise, what's going to be going on with all the restrictions that we've had. And so we've kind of talked about it, Jared and Linda, and as in kind of, you know, thought about it, and Phil said, you know what, let's just wait till September, and then we'll do a couple-day blowout for the kids.
Yeah,
just
when we
big
know we're
blowout
in the building,
for the kids.
And we know we're there. So we're going to wait till September, and then we'll advertise,
yes.
and we'll probably have two power-packed nights of just
for the kids.
Stuff. Amen.
Just for the kids. They've had so much taken away from them. We didn't want to take it away from them. There's so much that they've missed, and, you know, having to end school early and not be with their friends, and then this summer not really be able to be with their friends because you have to stay home. You can't go out. I mean,
Praise
for the last
God.
Few
Amen.
Months. So we don't want to take it away from them, but we want to do something that honors them, that gives them time to just have a good time and learn about mm-hmm. Jesus. So we're going to do a two-day blowout.
Amen.
So it'll be fun.
Praise
and
God.
Anybody, Phil and I have to go fix a mistake that he did. We
Praise
did.
God. Hallelujah.
That we did.
Amen.
So we have to go fix a mistake after church. So we're going over to the building. So if there's anybody that wants to just walk through the building and see what it looks like, see where we're at with it, you're more than welcome to come over after service soon
Amen.
As Phil's done praying for everybody.
Yep.
He and I are going to head over there. So if you want to come take a tour of it, we won't be there all day.
Amen.
So you can come pretty much close to after service.
Amen.
And you can walk through it and you say, oh, I just can't do it today because we have plans. If you can do it next week, let us know. We'll go over there and let you walk through it next week, too. So we just think it's good for
yes,
you to
it's
see
coming along.
What it looks like.
Yep.
We talk about it all the time, but when you see something for yourself and you can see mm-hmm. what process it's in and all that stuff. So,
yes. And we are closer to finishing than ever.
Amen.
Amen.
It's looking good.
Believe me, it has been a long journey.
It's looking good, except for what you and I did.
Yeah. In fact, you might have to ask for some rescue help. I don't know.
We're going to try it.
We might have to ask for some touch-up help there, so we'll see how that goes. But we'll try it. But, it's closer than ever. I tell you what, it's not going to be long, and we're going to be transitioning, so... God has been good to us, and it's a blessing, and we just want to thank you for your patience and all your giving and stuff that's a part of making this transition possible. Amen? So right now, the first thing I want to do is, first of all, the Kaisers are out on vacation, so they'll be back with us Thursday, and we thank God. Lots of people, we've got some families that are out vacationing and getting ready to vacation, so that's been a blessing, and they'll be back. But we are going to have a great children's church service today, so we're going to go ahead and let the children go for children's church. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Amen.
Girlie, you got to go down to children's church.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Elena.
Uh-oh.
Elena, you going to going down to Children's Church, Alana?
Which one is it?
Elena. I know kids, Elena, Alana, and I get confused with all of them now. Because
amen. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. I think you're just trying to get away from me. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. She was talking in the first service about vacations and staycations. And so I said, yeah. She said, you know, for spending time together. And I said, hey, are you making an offer? And she said, no, no, no. I'm looking for a girl's trip. So that was. But this morning, I want to take a few minutes. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 4:19 that the Lord will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. And when it comes to tithe and offering, these are promises where you get the opportunity to release your faith so that you can be involved in what God wants to do on your behalf. Remember, the Bible says that our Father in heaven knows what you have need of even before you talk to him about it, amen? And he's good and faithful and working on our behalf. So this morning, I just want you to use your faith. We're going to pray, and you get the opportunity to release your tithes and offerings into the house of God so that not only can there be meat in his house, but so that the Lord can rebuke the devourer on your behalf, and he can bless and keep his hand on everything that's a part of your life. Amen? And he's a faithful, good God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you. And Lord, I thank you, God, that you know what we have need of even before we speak it, Father. Lord, even before we know what we need, you already see what we're in need of, God. And Father, I just thank you that you are so faithful, that you say you will meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory, Father. And that is what you do, Father. And Lord, we thank you for your supernatural hand of provision, love, mercy, and kindness that comes upon our lives, God. And Father, we just thank you for all that you do in us and for us, God. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to preach to you today, and I'm going to pick up just a little bit on where we were last week. But before we get into that, I just want to say happy Father's Day, and I thank all of you fathers out there. But all of us, I just want to speak to you for just a moment, because this week I was just thinking back over my life, and I want to remind each and every one of us that the words we speak into people's lives are going to have a long-term effect, amen? And for fathers and mothers, I want you to know something, that we speak into people's lives, and I want to make sure that also, I mean, we do a lot of correcting, and that's a part of childhood and raising up children. We must correct. We must do all that. But I want to encourage you today to remember that you also need to exhort and encourage, amen? I want to remind you that your words will have a long-term impact on people that you speak with. And I thank God for my mom and dad. I can remember that when I was just getting started at this thing called life, that they would speak to me and say, Philip, now God created you. You are who God wants you to be, and I want you to know you can grow up and be anything. You could do anything. My mom used to tell me you could be the president one day. Praise God. But speaking life and speaking words into people, I want us to remember, amen, that what we speak is going to have a long-term impact, amen? So we want to make sure that we are speaking encouragement and blessing and all of that good stuff. And I'm going to pick up on where we were last week. Last week we talked about the Lord meeting at the well with the woman from Samaria. And I think that this is such a current topic because it's going to touch our lives just a little bit on some of everything that's going on today, because we found out during the course of our journey of faith that the Samaritans did not get along with the Jewish people and that there was a separation amongst them. Now, whether it was social or whether it was racial, there was a divide that made them prejudged against each other. Amen? But we found out that Jesus broke right through that and went into Samaria and he ministered the gospel to someone, and he ministered that gospel right to them, no matter what their background was and who they were. And I just want to read this morning out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And I want you to see something in here. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." And I want to talk to you this morning because so many people say, "Well, Pastor, what should I do?" And people are reaching out asking me, "What should I do? And how do I respond to this?" And I want you to know something. First of all, you're not supposed to respond to the news. You're not supposed to respond to social media. You are supposed to be responding to the Lord your God. Amen? And I want you to know something, that right here in the Bible, the Lord says, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me or who shall deny me, I will deny him." And I want you to understand something. This is far beyond your willingness to say, "Hey, I'm a Christian," or "I believe in the Lord Jesus as my Savior." I want to talk to you about the fact that you cannot deny the Lord on a day-to-day basis in your life. I want you to know something, that it's one thing to be ashamed to openly say you're a Christian or you believe in God the way Peter did. Peter was a man that got scared and he started trying to deny that he even knew the Lord. It's interesting, though, because once you've been touched by God, people can tell, because people were saying, "No, Peter, I know, I saw you. I know that you were in the presence of the Lord." And so what I want you to know something is that when we look at this scripture and it says that we should not deny him, I want you to know that that is much more than just denying him as Lord. That's denying him the opportunity to be Lord in your life on a day-to-day basis. I want to make sure that as believers, we do not deny the Lord his right to be manifested in every relationship, every situation, and every place that we are in life. I want you to understand something, that when you are interacting with others, you have the potential at any moment to submit to his lordship and recognize him, or to deny him in a moment of time. Now, I know nobody in here, nobody in this church would ever do it, but I tell you what, it would be shameful for a Christian who has declared the Lord Jesus Christ that under pressure you deny him in such a way that you would revert back to old ways of cussing and fussing and defending yourself and fighting with a mean nature and doing all those kinds of things. I want you to understand something, that we never want to be found denying the Lord in any way, shape, or form. Let's make sure that on a day-to-day basis, our love nature and our character of the Lord is so reflected in who we are that we never deny the Lord. Amen? I want you to know something. One way you can know that you are having an impact and God is shining through you is sometimes people might ask you to pray for them. Amen? People might come to you and say, "Hey, could you pray for me?" Or, "Hey, what do you think about this?" Or, "Hey, could you pray for so-and-so?" I want you to know something. When you start hearing those things coming under your life, you can start taking an assurity that you are reflecting Christ to people in a way that he's available to them. I want you to know something. How do we as Christians need to handle the world today? It's making sure that we are walking in such unity with God that there's a presence, or that there's an understanding that we are different. Amen? I want you to know something, that sometimes someone might ask you, hey, are you a Christian or something like that? And then you will say, should I say yes or what should I do here? And I will tell you that when you say yes, people say, I knew it. I knew there was something different about you. I could see something about you. I knew something was different about you. And this is the way that you need to make sure that you're reflecting Christ to the world. Amen? I want to just sit here and just share with you some things today. I'm going to share a story with you in just a little bit that's going to be apropos for some of the things that are going on today, because I want you to know something. What do I need to do? How should I respond? I want you to know something. First of all, never be ashamed of who you are. We can't be ashamed of our skin color. We can't be disappointed in whether we're male or female. We have to rejoice in the fact that we are who God made us to be. Amen? And I want you to know something, that your unique individualness is going to be a place where if you just allow God to grow you, you're going to know what to do, when to do, and you're going to impact people by who you are. Amen? I want you to know something. Never regret who you are, what you look like, how God made you. Rejoice in the fact that you are unique, and that if you will give room in your life for Lord to move, he's going to use you right where you're at and who you are. Amen? I'm going to have a story for you in a few minutes that's reflective of this in my own life. It's kind of funny. I had a situation happen one time, but I just want you to see something about what is most important concerning you as a believer and what is most important to the Lord about your life. And we're going to see a situation here where in Luke chapter 11, verse 37, Jesus went to eat with some Pharisees. And I just want you to see what happened. In Luke 11, verse 37, it says, "And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat." So Jesus is sitting down to eat with this man. "And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God." I want you to know something, that Jesus was not so much against their ritualistic little things they did as him being against the fact that they weren't changed and transformed on the inside. I want you to know something, that we see a group of people called the Pharisees, that boy, they dressed the part religiously, outwardly. They looked the part. They even went to the synagogue and they did all these things. But when it came to the true nature of touching lives, loving other people, and being a person that would reflect Jesus, that's where they were falling short. I want you to know something. What should I do today, Pastor, in this world? I want to make sure that you make sure that you live with a pure heart, being kind, doing your best to be loving, and doing your best to just treat people in an honest, straightforward, personal way, and I tell you that you will do what you're called to do. I'm going to tell you a little interesting story that happened to me. This was years ago when Miss Regina and I first got married. I worked at this job, and I would go to work every day, and there was an older gentleman there by the name, well, his nickname was Fireball, hallelujah, which was actually the complete opposite of how he did his job. He was very slow and everything, but he was called Fireball. And this young man, he was an older man, but he would talk to me every day, and he'd say, "Oh, Philip,
I want you to know something. I have no problem with you being black. In fact, he says, I really like you and all that kind of stuff. And he said, but he said, you know, I'm just not sure what I feel about this race mixing. It was so funny because I would say, well, Fireball, I really like you too. And you know what? I got to tell you something. I'm not sure what I think about this race mixing either. Now, I was married at the time, and we would talk every day and have this conversation. And I would ask the Lord sometimes, Lord, do you want me to say something more to this man? And God would say, no, just be kind to him and just keep everything, you know, light and, you know, and I got the sense that God was working on this young man. Well, what was so amazing was all of a sudden, after months and months of this going on, I was at the mall one day with Miss Regina. And all of a sudden, guess who comes walking my way? Fireball. And what was so amazing was I had never told Regina the story about this man saying this to me every day. So here he comes and he says, hey, Phil, how are you doing? And I said, I'm doing great. He said, this is my wife. And he introduced me to his wife. And I said, praise God, Fireball, it's good to see you. This is my wife. And I introduced him to Regina. And of course, he's smiling and being all nice. And we had a great conversation and everything. And I said, hey, I'll see you at work. And he said, okay, I'll see you at work. And of course, his face was red like a tomato. And he was quiet when we walked away. But what was powerful was after that weekend, I'd been praying for him. And I'll never forget, I prayed for him on Sunday. And I'll never forget that I went to work. And all of a sudden, this Fireball came up to me and he said, Philip, with tears running down his face, he says, I want you to know, I don't have a problem with race mixing anymore. Amen. Amen. Now, what I'm telling you is that I want you to know that as an individual, you are made uniquely the right way you need to be made for the people that are coming across your path. See, I want you to understand something, that I have taken a personal responsibility that when it comes to black and white issues and race, that I think it's an opportunity for me to bridge a gap, if there would be one. And I want you to know something, that thank God that I am made the way I am, that I can handle that situation. But I want you to know something, you have been made the way you are to handle every situation that comes across your life. Listen, you may have been an abused woman. You may have been a young man that was picked on. I think about growing up, you know, and they'll talk about, well, you know, you could have been mistreated because of your race. Well, what about the nerdy kids that got their head flushed in the toilet and got picked on and got treatment that I never went through that was as traumatic, maybe more traumatic for them than what I ever went through? See, what we need to understand is that who you are as an individual, just make room for the Lord in every situation. Be led of the Spirit of God. Jesus, when he interacted with people, he was always led by his Father to know what he should say and what he should do, and he was always compelled to love other people. Amen? I'm going to share with you a story, and I want to remind you, again, that back in these days, the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along or did not necessarily ever approach each other or spend time with each other. And I want you to see another opportunity where the Lord uses a demonstration of the fact that the only thing that our differences do is make us unique people. But it is the love of God. Remember, it's the inward nature of who you become that is going to make all the difference in the kingdom of God. And I just want you to see here, because this was a question that someone had about eternal life and how could they be assured that eternal life belonged to them. And the Lord demonstrates to us some very sincere things that we need to take a part of and that we can look to that speak to us about these types of things that could help us be exactly what we need to be at any moment in time. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, there's a man that approaches the Lord and he asks them about eternal life. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answered, said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.'" So I want to tell you once again, the most important thing you can do, and how can I survive? How can I do this? How can I have an impact? How can I do all these things? Well, first of all, remember that you are a person of prayer. You are a person of faith. And I want you to know that the most important thing you can do is allow your life to reflect the Lord. And make sure that the people that you personally interact with are people that understand and receive from you the love and the kindness that's reflected of a good person. Amen? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And I want you to hear what this young man said to the Lord. "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Praise God. We're coming to the epitome of what I want to share with you today. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who am I assigned to be kind to? Who should I touch their life on? Well, first of all, I want you to know something. Here's a good way to start. Who is my neighbor? I don't know what you would like your preconceived notion to be. But the truth is, the Lord says that we even pray for our enemies. Amen? That we're kind to our enemies. We're kind to those people that despitefully use us and treat us wrong. Amen? So when it talks about who is my neighbor, I want you to know something. This man was asking this question. Why? Because I believe he was hoping to get his perfect little list. Who's my neighbor? Who do I got to be? I got to be kind to my spouse. I got to be kind to my children. I got to be kind to my family and maybe a few people at church. But I want this list limited. Who is my neighbor? Because there may be some people that I want to unload on. There may be some people that I don't want nothing to do with. There may be some people that I want to justify my attitude with. And the Lord was very clear in this example that he gives that's going to show us what it takes to be kind and who's really our neighbor. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." In other words, he saw a person in need, but he wanted nothing to do with that person. And I don't know if he saw them who they were or what part of the city they were from or if there was something different about him. But I do know that this priest saw a man in need and decided to walk completely around him. And likewise, a Levite. Now, this is a person that does worship, and this is a person that's supposed to be a very important part of the church and the leadership in the church. And when he came, he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. Why did this man come and look? I don't know. Maybe he wanted to be able to post the story on his social media feed. Hey, I'm aware of this. I'm aware of this. Maybe he wanted to post on Facebook and let everybody know that he knew of what had happened, but he offered no assistance to a person in need. And then the Lord says this, "But a certain Samaritan..." Now, this is a person who, again, at the time, the Jews were separated from and didn't think well of, and Jesus was showing that the true measure of a person's heart is the integrity of what's in them. As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Isn't it interesting that this man, this Samaritan, had such a character and such a nature that this innkeeper trusted him that if a bill was going to be made, that this man would come back and repay it? A man of his word, a man of integrity, a man of good standing within the community that he was a part of. And then I want you to see something here. This Samaritan wasn't necessarily a representation of the church that this man Jesus was talking to that he knew of. In fact, Jesus mentioned a priest and a Levite. In other words, that would be people that this man would be aware of. And Jesus showed that in this instance, they didn't do anything like what God would expect them to do. Because they saw a man in need and made no effort to help him. I want you to know something, that in this situation, this man reached out towards a stranger, towards someone he didn't even know. You know, sometimes as Christians, and I'm not getting on us, but sometimes as Christians, it's hard enough to get us to reach out to people that we do know. But in this case, this man invested in someone who he had no way of ever thinking he would ever get anything back from. I want you to know that sometimes as Christians, just your kind words into a stranger may produce something that you won't even understand. You might not apparently seem like you're getting anything out of it, but you are reaping up rewards in heaven and you're touching the kingdom of God by being who you are. See, in this story, we see that what it takes to be a true person of God, and if you want to know what you should be willing to do, make sure that you're willing to invest kindness into people that come across your path that need it. Amen? I want you to know something, that the Lord was showing this young man, what should I do to have eternal life? Jesus was saying, make sure you're accountable, that the people that come across your path, you're kind to, and you reflect me to them as often as you possibly can. I want you to know, think about how thankful this man was when he got recovered and healed. Think about how that moment of kindness erased that moment of badness that had happened to him. On one hand, he knows that there's thieves out there that mistreated him. But on the other hand, he knows the kindness of God that was demonstrated by someone who reached out with kindness towards him. Amen? Christians, I want you to know something. That I want you to know that your greatest accountability and what you can do and what God requires of you is that on a day-to-day basis, you live for him. On a day-to-day basis, you look for opportunities to invest in other people. And on a day-to-day basis, do what you can to reflect the Lord to anybody that comes across your path. Amen? I want you to know that God expects you to get beyond the outward look of a person. Get beyond the outward look and make sure that you're looking into them. And not everybody you meet is going to be a Christian. But the people that come across your path, don't ever forget that they have God potential in them. And you want to make sure that your interaction in their life releases a pathway and a thought for them to look to the Lord. Amen? That's the requirement of people of faith, and that should be your job. The answer for the world today is Jesus. The answer over all these things that we're facing today is Jesus, because I want you to know something, that whether it's racial prejudice, whether it's violence, whether it's hurtfulness, the wickedness of that is just sin. These things are just sin. They're just people that don't know the Lord. That's where it stems from. And so what is going to rectify it, what's always going to make it right, is people coming to know the Lord. Amen? I want you to know something, that as Christians, don't back up and be ashamed of what the Bible says. Amen? I want you to know something, that a marriage covenant is between a man and a woman. Amen? It was from the time of the garden. It will be in the finish of the world. And we're not going to be ashamed to say it. And we're not going to be ashamed to not change it. Amen? We're going to be honoring towards the Word of God, because the Word of God is what's going to make a difference in the life of every person if they're going to come into the completion of who they were meant to be on this journey called life. You were created unique. You are created who you are, all your little quirks. I don't care if your wife can't stand your little quirks. God created you. Amen? I don't care if your husband can't stand your little quirks. God created you, and you allow who you are to be perfected in Him, and that is the requirement of faith. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory, God. Father, we just thank you for your kindness, God. We thank you for your love and your mercy. And God, we thank you that you created each one of us as an individual, Father. You've given us unique assignments, God, and purposes, Father. And Lord, the governing thing that we want to do is make sure that we love our neighbors just as we love ourselves, and as we love you, and as your love grows into us, Father. Lord, I'm thankful that Jesus even asked the man, which one of these men showed the love of God and showed eternal life? And the man said, the man who gave mercy. And Father, let us always be people that give mercy, that give love, that return kindness, Father. And Lord, these guidelines will help us be who you want us to be, Father, and ensure that we get to walk in the eternal life and the promise of heaven, that what we're journeying for. And God, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. I want to thank you for being here today. I didn't see any prayer requests. I'm not notified of any that are out there on viewing world online out there. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you and have a blessed day. And every one of you, happy Father.